I have been for some time now studying the Psalms in the evening time of my devotions, and the other evening I had come to Psalm number 70. And then Brother Richard called and asked me if I could preach tonight. I was very delighted because it's been a while since I preached on a Sunday to you, and so I welcome the opportunity. But I came to this little psalm, number 70, if you'd like to turn there. It's a very good little psalm. If you read this psalm right now, you could go to Psalm 40 and verse 13 to 17, and it would be nearly identical to those verses in chapter 40. If you're studying with some men, you will understand that they believe that the 70th psalm should not be there, so they bring it in and merge it with the 71st psalm. I particularly believe that the Holy Spirit wanted this here because David is going to teach us something. And this message tonight, I believe you will find, will be an unusual kind of a message. But my prayer is that you will open your heart tonight and let the Spirit of the living God speak to your heart. Please don't let your mind wander. It might find itself over in the other side of the building. So keep your mind focused, and I think God will bless tonight. Let's read. You follow along as I read Psalm number 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer. O Lord, may me make no tarrying. In other words, don't drag your feet, Lord. I need you right now. Now, this psalm is important, I think, to us because David is writing this. Perhaps Hezekiah wrote this. Some have even thought that maybe Jeremiah penned this. But the normal consensus is that David penned this because David was the king, and there were those that did not agree with him, that still had feelings for Saul and for Ahithophel, for Absalom, and for those that had turned against David the king. So he finds himself in a dire position. And he's praying to the Lord in earnest prayer, but he does something that we want to be careful that we do not follow his example. He demands that God make haste. He demands that God acts right this minute. And he even says so, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Now, God will listen to a prayer like that, but he will act in his own good time. Mary and Martha, Jesus was on the other side of Jordan ministering, and they send a runner to him to say to him, Lazarus, your friend is very sick. Come at once. And the runner comes back, and they said, what did he say? In essence, he said, I'll be there to take care of things. That's basically what he said. But they wait one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Lazarus is dead and already in the grave. They did not understand that Jesus tarried in his own time for their good because he was going to do something greater for them than had he just come at their beckoning call and just took Lazarus off the bed. They would not have witnessed this great miracle and the power that he had over the dead. And so he showed them a great and marvelous. He restored their brother to them. In fact, he sat at the table and ate with them. And so God acts in his own time. I want you to notice something else. He said, let them be ashamed. These that sat by on the byway, and they make fun of us. When God chastises his people, they would cheer, and they would make light, and they would push out their lip, and they would make sneering remarks. And David said, I don't like that, Lord. That needs to be taken care of. Make haste and come and do something about that for your glory. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Edomites. The Edomites, every time God would chastise his people, they would sit on the sidelines and cheer God on, pour it on. God is very jealous about his own. God cares for you and I more than we can really ever comprehend. And when God moves his hand against us in any kind of fashion, God does not take lightly even another Christian or brother having the thought that God is judging them. Be careful what you think or say. Because by and by, where are the Edomites today? They're no more. Their dwelling place was in the rocks in a place called Petra. It's amazing that in the last days of the tribulation, God is going to bring the remnant of Israel, those people they made fun of and laughed at, and God's going to put them in this place of rocks, place called Petra, and he's going to protect them all through the last 3.5 year period of the tribulation period because they have now recognized Jesus as their Messiah. But there's something else that David says to us here. He said, all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. And he comes to the Lord with a proclamation. He says, God, here's what they're going to do. We people that trust in you and know that you always do right by us, we know this for a fact. We will definitely magnify thy name. He says, let God be magnified. I think the best thing that we can do when we come to God in prayer is not to make demands on prayer. We do not make demands on God, but rather we say, God, your will be done. It's very urgent to me. And so David says, that's what I was doing. And I want you to know, this is a good example, but be careful how you approach God. Not in a demanding way. But he says, when you do, realize that you let him know that I will magnify your holy name. Then he says to God in a very humble and awesome way, he says, dear God, I am poor and needy. He's not talking about riches. David had wealth at his fingertips. David is speaking about himself, about his position as a child of God. I'm poor. I'm needy. I can't do anything on my own, dear God. You must come to me. This is a great time of emergency in my life. And he said, then art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Don't drag your feet, dear God. Make no tarrying. What, I need this done right now. And so I studied that out. And I had just got through studying it and had just cataloged it in my mind. And Brother Richard called and says, can you preach Sunday night? Yes, I can. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And immediately he said, Psalm 70. So I went back to that and I thought, that's good. So I sat down with my pencil and my tablet and I began to work out as I studied, and I had a great outline. And I thought, this is good. This is great. It'll take me about 1.5 hours to preach it, and that'll be good for everybody, and we'll just have a good time together. And so, right, amen, shake your head, yes. And now, what we did then, I've never done this as far as I can recollect. After I had prayed over this message and committed it to the Lord, I did something I've never done. Before I closed my prayer, I said, Lord, if this is not what you want me to preach, if you need to change it up in any way, speak to me right now. And I closed my prayer. And the moment I closed my prayer, God rushed in and just filled my mind with all kind of thoughts. And so that's what I want to bring to you tonight. This is a very unusual message. I'm following on the lead of our pastor as he's preached to our church over and over again that we need to move forward, that we need to put a little added effort for the Lord as a church body. I've been a member of this church body for well over 10 years, and I have seen many, many incidents take place in our church that has definitely touched my heart and moved me to tears and moved me to prayer. And I say that because David is saying in Psalm 70, this is a way to approach an emergency of prayer. I think what I would like to entitle this lesson I'm bringing right now is emergency praying. Emergency praying. Peter knew something about emergency praying. He's walking on the water, and all of a sudden he began to sink. He did not bow his head and get down on his knees and go through all the rigmarole that a lot of people do. He just said, "Lord, save me." That's emergency praying, isn't it? I've been in emergencies, and I've had to pray, and God has definitely taken care of me. But listen to this. Over the time I've been in this church, I have observed incidents that have brought about emergency praying in our whole church body. Not just one or two praying, but the word went out, especially when Brenda was here and had started the internet ministry. She put out all details to everyone that had a computer immediately, and we picked up on that. And we immediately started praying for whatever the request was, emergency praying. And I thought about some of those times. Now, what I'm going to say tonight, if it opens up a tender spot in your heart about a loved one, that's not what I want to do, is hurt you or harm you. I just want you to listen to the incident and see how this emergency prayer time started. I think, first of all, about as I look over, I got the directory out the other day of the church, the latest one, and I was going through and I was noticing all the many members of our church, loved and dearly respected, have gone home to be with the Lord. And in a fleshly sense, it's saddening to see that these folks are not here. We loved them. We cared for them. We fellowshipped with them. Some of them I taught. And so it's a nostalgic time. But I remember many, many dear widow women, especially. Some of them were very regular in my Tuesday Bible study, and I became very close to them. And then the call would come in. They've gone to the hospital. All the family has been called to the bedside. And in a little while, they're gone. But emergency prayer was started. We prayed for God to have his will. And here's a scenario, a scene that we could probably picture in any of those incidents where these dear loved ones went home to be with the Lord. A family member, perhaps a son or a daughter, puts the head down close to that dying dear lady, a mother, a grandmother, and bends down very low to hear something that she whispers. And she whispers to that person, all the room is quiet, wanting to hear what she say. And she says very softly, "Jesus has opened the door to heaven. Goodbye, I'm going higher." And she closes her eyes. Emergency praying was taking place. God had his will, didn't he? And we headed to see those. Some of you have been there in those circumstances. I have been with my own family. Some of you have been there with your own family. You know what a tender time that is. You know that in your heart, all your brothers and sisters in the Lord are bringing about an emergency time of praying for you and your loved one. God has his time. But we think about another situation. One day, this man went to the hospital. He came back, and we had had emergency prayer for him, and he seems all right. Then a little later, he goes back into the hospital, and again, the emergency prayer of our church is kicked in, and we all begin to pray. And then all of a sudden, he comes out again. And the last time he went in, I met him out on the front part of the church, and I looked at him, called him by name, and I said, "What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the graveyard. You've been nigh unto death." And I think he said he was really basically dead for several times. But God does not go by any other time clock but his own. But emergency prayer was put in play, and God answered that prayer, and God delivered because not of our prayers necessarily, but because it was not God's time to bring this dear brother, who, by the way, is a very active part in our church for many, many years. So emergency prayer kicked in. Then I think of something else. The news comes again. Another faithful member, dearly beloved, well thought of, goes to the hospital because of terrific headaches. Wonderful man, a dear friend of mine. And the doc says, "Doesn't look good. You've got many tumors on the brain." He's in isolation for a long time. I wrote him a letter, told him how much he meant to me. You sent him cards. You made calls. We all went into emergency prayer time for this dearly beloved brother. But God looked down at this dear brother and said to him, "I don't want you to suffer and live the life of just a vegetable that can't do anything. So I'm opening the door to heaven. I want you to come on up and live with me." That's where he is tonight. The family, the friends, we all hated to see him go naturally. And we miss him. I still miss him. But God says emergency prayer is great. And what did that do for us? God allowed these things to happen in our church, in the body of Christ that meets here, to get us on our knees to pray. We begin to pray for these individuals. Some of you and some of us are very dear near to those people, and we really go fervently in prayer. That emergency prayer mode has kicked in. And God is saying to himself, "We're making some progress." I don't mean these people were out of the will of God and God had to take them, but God allows everything to happen within his will. There's nothing that happens to you and me as a child of God that is beyond the will of God. When we get out of God's will be the first one that God tells and informs that we are out of his will, and he will deal with us each individually in love, mercy, and compassion. But sometimes God allows things to come into our life personally. A young man, very active in the church, very active in the praise and worship band, is taken to the hospital. A lot of question marks. What's going to happen here? The church goes into emergency prayer time. He was playing this morning, seemingly all hale and hearty and healthy, as a young boy's age should be. What did that do for us? It brought us one more time on our knees. And so the emergency prayer brought about God's system of leading us and teaching us something. I could name incidents after incidents just in the little over 10 years that I've been a part of this church, and as I look back and put all the pieces together like a puzzle, I can see God step by step by step by step of all of these delicate situations that God is saying to us, get in the emergency mode of prayer. I'm teaching you something, and I'll keep on until you learn what I want you to know. So everything is going good. The pastor has been admonishing us time and time again. Folks, we don't need to go backward. We need to push on and be forward. We need to move forward. People are everywhere without Christ. We need to fill up the pews. Sometimes we hear that and we think, well, he's just getting excited. No, he's not. He has a calling and a love, and he wants to see people under the preaching of the Word of God, and I praise him for that. But you know what? I look at me and I say, you could do much better. And you should look at yourself and say, can I do better? Can I join in with the pastor and his admonition? Can I say with him with a hearty amen, count me in. I don't want to be left out. Put me in the group. Then we come down. We have an elderly man, been in this church a long time, comes to this church, and all of a sudden his health begins to fail. And he comes, even when he can hardly make it. He comes and he sits in his place, and he's regular, and he supports the work. And then he goes back home, and the first thing we know, he's in the hospital. And we have to go to prayer. Emergency prayer is kicked in. And so all over our church body, we're praying for this dear man of God, whom we love, and he's a very respectable man in our church. His word is his bond, and we love to talk to him, and he knows, and he's been with God for a long time, all these many years. And it reflects in his life. And then one day he comes out of the hospital, and his steps are a little slower than before. He's into a shuffle mode now. He's walking with a walker. Still got a smile on his face. Still trusting and loving the Lord. And we're still praying for him because we can see the cracks and the crevices in this strong stalwart of a Christian. And his health is failing. And one day God says, it's time. Come home. And so he goes home. And we've lost a real genuine pillar of the faith in our church. But we have been in the prayer mode of emergency praying. And God said, I'm giving you another lesson. I call this dear saint home because, as Job said, we have an appointment with God. God has set aside a time on his calendar when we will leave this earth. Not late, not early, on God's time. No matter what we would have done, that would have happened. It's God's time. But then we see something else. Emergencies taking place. We've learned a little bit as a church. We've learned that when we group together as a church, we have bonded ourselves in a mutual agreement. We have, as two has agreed on something, God says, I will stand by that. And so we've agreed to pray in these emergency times of prayer for these individuals and their families. But after a while, things settle down and our emergency prayer time is seemingly over. We don't have that bond of praying together for our church body, our family. And so God lets something else happen. And that brings back the bonding of the emergency praying again, and we all at seemingly one time, we call their name, we have prayer, and we pray in our homes, and the prayers go up, and God is pleased. But God will act every time in his own time. Sometimes they come home and they're still with us. Sometimes God says it's time to for you to come home and be with me. We don't ever get mad at God for doing that. He understands and knows our hurts and our disappointments. But yet when he calls a loved one home and they don't have to suffer anymore, we that love the Lord praise God for his wonderful mercy and compassion. But something else. God is getting our attention slowly. Over these 10 years, God is getting our attention. But lesson. After I going into the emergency mode of prayer, God looks us over. And God says, you know, I think it's time that I get your attention. I've had your attention sometime, but I really need to get your attention. I need to bring it down to something that you can put your teeth into. So God touches the key person in this church. He goes in for a checkup. Then he's at home one night. He has to get up, be taken to the emergency room, and he's had to have an operation. He comes home and there's infection. He has to go back in, stay a while. He comes home and then he has a terrible infection and a reaction to the medicine, and he's on his way home right now. Our pastor has been touched to God by God to really get our attention and get us back into the emergency prayer mode. Are you following me? Shake your head yes, so I know you're not asleep. We need to stay in the prayer mode of emergency praying every day of the week. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because I have been a pastor. I have preached for many, many years, and I know what's going on in our church. I have watched our church. I have felt the urgency and I've felt the hurt of our pastor. I've told him so. My heart aches for him. I've been there. You can't make people do anything. You can only bring out the word of God. And I'm not beating you over the head. I'm just sharing something with you so you know where I'm coming from. And so what I want you to do is to consider this. Consider bonding with our entire church family under a bond made to the Lord that we will continue in the emergency mode of prayer as though everybody in this church is about to die and slip into eternity. You say, that's a horrible thought. Well, it's a reality, but we know that that won't happen at one time. But we need to be in an emergency like that, that our praying is getting God's attention and he knows we're serious about God's work. Some of you, I see at every service, and I praise God for that. I wish I could have preached this morning. I think I could have called names and it would have been okay. No, I'm just being facetious. But I will say this. We need to do this. We need to get into the emergency prayer mode, just as we have for all these other incidents. And we need to pray earnestly to the Lord. You know people that used to come to this church regularly. Where are they? I don't know a lot of them. You may know them. And you need to pray as though they're slipping into eternity and you're beseeching God, move on my heart to do something, to go visit them, make a phone call, write them a note. Definitely pray for them that God will see they get back in church. Some of them may be just in the clasp of Satan. And God alone can wrestle them out of that grasp of Satan. But he needs to know that we're interested in them, that we're really concerned. Do we love our brothers and sisters of the Lord? John says the way you can tell someone is saved is if they love the brethren. That doesn't mean like. God doesn't say that I have to like every one of you. But God does say I have to love every one of you if I am his child, because the love of the Holy Spirit lives in my life, and we have the same blood, basically, the blood of Jesus Christ in our spiritual vein. We love one another. That means we do for one another, we feel for one another, we hurt for one another, and we pray for one another. So these brothers and sisters that are caught out into the world, we need to go to them this week without putting it off. This week we need to go to them, single out several, and go to them and say, I love you. I love you because you're my brother or sister in Christ. It hurts me that you're not back in church. Why are you turning your back on God and your brothers and sisters in the Lord? And so here's what I want to say to you. First of all these many times that these incidents that have happened that brought our church to emergency praying, have we been listening? Have we been scrutinizing what God's been trying to do for us and to us? Has it just rolled off our back like water? Or have we really thought, I wonder if God is trying to say something to me? You know, when I heard that our pastor was in the hospital, I thought, well, this is normal. Fella gets old like our pastor. Tell him I said that. And the old body gives way, and we normally have some difficulties. Those things are happening to me. If they're not happening to you, wait, honey, they'll hit you pretty soon. All of us have some infirmities of the flesh. And so I thought, I prayed for him, but I thought, this is just one of those situations, and the doctors take. But then when I was told that he had to be rushed back in because of infection, then I got concerned. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Are you speaking to me about something? Are you taking our pastor and seemingly taking him out of our sight to show us that we really need to be concerned about the welfare of our leader, our pastor, our under-shepherd, that we really need to bond together every day, every week, every month for God's hand and protection and leadership and power be on our pastor and our church? You can't buy that at Walmart. You have to get that from God. And God alone can bring us to that place. Now, here's what I'd like for us to do. Why have we moved away from emergency praying? It was important then. Let me tell you something that's more important. Souls are more important. Those souls have gone home to be with the Lord that we lost. These that God have raised up off the bed of affliction, they're still with us. We still need to love them and pray for them. But God is saying to us, there's something more important. My testimony, my name in Gun Barrel City, is it slipping away from its effectiveness? Have we become complacent? I looked that word up in the dictionary, and the word complacent means smug. Do we feel smug? We're just okay. Self-satisfaction is another one. Coming to a quiet silence. We just come and listen to the messages, and we enjoy the music, and we enjoy the fellowship, and we go home, and we wait for the next time we come together. What's happened? We need to stay in that mode of emergency praying every single day. Do you have a prayer time? I do. I go up in the evening upstairs to the bedroom and I study through the scriptures, and then I have my prayer time. If I'm anywhere, I'm having prayer. I'm finding I get along better with God if I constantly stay in touch with Him. That way, if I do fall into a pit, I don't have to wave my handkerchief and say, God, it's Jay down here in the pit. All I have to do is say, Lord, I'm in the pit, help me. And God recognized me because I just talked to him just a few moments ago. Some of folks that come to church, they would have to send up their driver's license to prove to God who they really are. He just doesn't know who they are. They never talk to him. I don't want to be that way. I want God to know who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing, and what he can do for me. And God will do that. Now, here's what we need to do. I think tonight, we don't need to put this off any longer. We're a great mass right here. You know, the Bible says, if two persons agree as touching one thing, God will act. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I had a church one time that got mad at me, and so they took sides against me, and literally the side that was against me sat over here, and the side that was for me sat over here. That doesn't make for a very happy pastor. Because when you preach, you catch yourself preaching to the group that's against you. And that doesn't go well either. But we don't want that to happen in our church. Let's don't get complacent. Let's don't get smug. I've sat in this seat ever since I've been here, and how dare you would take my seat. I feel like I can sit on any pew, anywhere, at any time, and I have done that. Double dog daring the person that had been sitting there to say something to me, I'm going to jump up and throw a fit. Now, we better get careful. We're in God's house. It's God's pews, God's church. We're privileged to come here. Here's what I want you to do. Let's make a pact with the Lord. You know, when Old Testament times, you would make a pact with someone, you would take off your shoe and you would give that person your shoe. And that bound together the pact. I'm not going to ask you to take off your shoes. The Lord deliver us from that. But I do want you to do this. I've asked Teddy that we're not going to have an invitation song. I want you to bow your head where you are right now. This is between you and God. I want you to make a pact with the Lord tonight. If you feel like you can do it, no one's forcing you. But if you feel that this has brought home a real desire in your heart about our church and our pastor, here's what I want you to do. I want you to decide that I'm going to make a pact with the Lord, with my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to get into this emergency prayer mode. I'm not going to wait till somebody rings my telephone and says, we need to go to prayer. We're already praying. I'll just add that to my list. I'll just add that emergency to my emergency praying right now. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your seat. If God's spoken to your heart, heads are still bowed, I want you to come down to this altar. And if you feel like you can make that commitment and that pact with God, Lord, I want to get into this emergency praying mode for your church, for your body, for my brothers and sisters. I don't want to wait until an emergency arrives that will bring me to prayer. I want to stay in prayer continually, all through the day. Every time I kneel in prayer, I'll remember my pastor, my brothers and sisters as a church body, and ask God's hand of guidance be upon us and move in my heart that what I can do for Christ will be at his bidding. Would you do that? Let's do that right now. If you'd like to get up and come to the altar, that's between you and God. It's not between me and you and God. And you make that pact, God will honor you. If you feel that you can't, that's between you and God. But I think you'd rather do that. God will use that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want the Holy Spirit to move on your heart. Not the music, not the invitation, but just the Holy Spirit moving on your heart. Would you do that? I want to pray. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my church. I'm concerned about my pastor. I'm concerned about myself. I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Will you do that? We're not going to sing anything. This is going to be a silent invitation between you and God and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you make a vow to the Lord, we're commanded to keep it. So you come tonight. We'll wait. God will wait, and God will move. You can't kneel, you just find your seat to sit on. Oh God, tonight I feel you've spoken to our hearts. We come into your presence knowing that this is a good thing, that we don't want to wait until an emergency comes, but that we'll be found praying in emergency, because our church needs emergency praying. We have a reason the devil hates this church. This city hates this church. But you love this church, and I'm talking about the people, you know, Lord. So, Father, bind us together tonight in the bonds of love by the Holy Spirit. I pray that we will just meet in our quiet time all over this city as brothers and sisters in the Lord. At least one time during the day that we'll take time to pray for our church, to pray for our pastor, to pray for ourselves, that we be found doing the will of God. Help us to be soul conscious. Help us to be burdened about our brothers and sisters in the Lord that have slackened off on their attendance at God's house. We can do something about it. Lead us to those people, dear Lord. And Lord, I give myself to you tonight. Help me to stay in the emergency mode of prayer every day from henceforth. And we do pray for our pastor tonight, that you will give him back his health, and that even real soon he would be back in the pulpit where God wants him to be. And I pray tonight, Father, that you will bind us and bond us in the love of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we go home and we continue this spirit of being bound by the love of Christ for one another in prayer. Thank you for the privilege of bringing this lesson tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless each one of you.